All right. Here we are, Friday. I'm Kai. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense. And in point of fact, we'll take the whole week. We'll take the whole week. Last 5 days.
We'll take the whole week. Yep.
Take the whole week.
I'm Molly Wood. It's Happy Hour Friday. I'm unreasonably delighted about that today.
Wow.
Economics on tap. The live stream is up and running. I'm in a great mood. Thanks to everybody who's joining us on YouTube and in Discord. I don't know. It's just sunny and I'm going on a reporting trip and it's Friday and I have some cute new glasses that I got at the vintage market to drink my tequila in. I don't know. Life is awesome.
Oh. Okay. I should tell you, I'm just a tad bit cranky, but I guess, well, you know, we'll go with your mood. How about that? We'll go with your mood. That's always a better idea. It's always a better idea.
All right. Okay. We get, like okay. I said, all sometimes right. We just equalize. We just meet in the middle and we just leave meh.
Yes.
And yes, for those of you joining
leave,
us.
I don't want to leave meh.
Right?
I don't want to leave meh.
Leave
so
up.
Let's work on it.
You're going to leave up.
Yep.
It's a great day.
All right. What is in that cute little glass that you got there that you keep showing us?
I've got, isn't that cute? Like, look, it's a little like leaded French style. Tequila. I got my new favorite tequila. Kirkland Añejo. Kirkland?
Costco? You're buying tequila by the Costco vat full?
Possibly. But also, it's an excellent value. And it's
look,
delicious.
I like your Kirkland products. I completely agree.
So good. Yeah. And then, yes, for those who are on the live stream, the dogs, despite my many promises that they would not be allowed up here, are both here. I'm sure you'll see the one jump out the window here and there. What kind of hazy IPA are you entertaining us with today?
It's not technically hazy, but it's a session IPA because I have some things to do later this afternoon and I can't get completely silly here in the next half hour. Golden Road, which I did last time. This is their Wolf Pup Session IPA, 4.5 ABV. Quite nice, quite tasty. Golden Road, just down the street practically from where we are. God, I'm so boring.
Love it.
What hazy IPA are
so
you drinking
local.
Today? Well, Molly, my hazy IPA today is... Shut up, guy.
No, you
anyway.
You like what you like, man. You like what you like.
I'm a fuddy-duddy who has no sense of adventure. And oh wait,
no,
this is not my
on.
Therapy session. Okay, all right.
Exactly.
So
we're not
going to
beat
we go on?
Up here.
Let's go
let's
on.
Do it.
What is even happening? Okay, you go first.
Yes, let's do the show. So yes, we're going to do the news. We're going to do a little half full, half empty game before we get into that. Let's start, of course, with the news and maybe what everybody else is drinking. Which oh god, it's going too fast.
Yeah.
Something Imperial IPA, Stone IPA. And so on and so forth. Some strong seconds for the Kirkland Añejo tequila. Okay. I think we have somewhat, well, maybe not. So one of the things we found out this week related to politics has a tie-in to the tech industry, which is, of course, that apparently the Department of Justice under President Trump collected a lot of information about lawmakers, congressional staffers, well, congressional staffers. I'm just going to start over. It's tequila, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm just too excited to talk about it. evidently, Apple received a subpoena in 2018 and handed over the data of congressional staffers, their families, and at least two members of Congress, including Representative Adam Schiff of California, who was then chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, or he was the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee then, investigating then-President Donald Trump's situation with Ukraine. So there appears to have been this pretty large overreach by the Department of Justice, and also now there's all of this kind of spotlight on how these tech companies, Apple, Google, Microsoft, all of them, can say a lot about privacy that they sometimes mean, but at the end of the day, if the cops come calling with a subpoena, all of that stuff in there that isn't encrypted is available to law enforcement. And that is one of the reasons that there's been so much push for, you know, not putting backdoors into encryption, for encrypting data on phones, because you have to trust the goodwill of your government when you put your information into these devices.
Right. Right.
And it's a big
I think a couple of things.
Loophole.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think a couple of things. So first of all, we are at the mercy of honest brokers and upright people with incredible amounts of power. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact. That's the only way representative democracy works. And what we had demonstrably in the Trump administration, and this goes from the top down to whatever the Justice Department lawyers, whoever the Justice Department lawyers were who actually filed these cases, right? Because you had an option. You could leave and not do it, right? Mm-hmm. The idea that happened is kind of gutting. It's really kind of gutting. And we know and we saw and we laughed at in a, oh, my God, are you kidding me kind of way, where you saw Donald Trump call it his Justice Department and where you saw Attorney General Bill Barr do things that were at the very least questionable in terms of independent administration of justice. And now we see it and we've got the facts. And it's horrific. It just is. And I don't even know.
And when we talk about privacy, a lot of times it seems really abstract, and it seems abstract to Americans who are unaccustomed to their government overreaching in these ways, right? We are not accustomed to a government environment that involves getting a subpoena for information about you and your entire family because they don't like the things you're saying about you. And it is often held up as sort of the like worst case scenario. This is why you should encrypt your backups. This is why you should have disappearing messages. This is why you should practice security hygiene. And people go like, I don't have anything to hide. Our government doesn't do this. When in fact, you know, our government has done some version of this for a very long time. Yeah. See also the Snowden revelations that the NSA was eavesdropping with, you know, the cooperation of companies on American citizens. And you know, on the one hand, the articles all say, oh, the tech companies are in the spotlight. But the fact is, like, we're in the spotlight. We're putting all of this information out there all the time without thinking and on the assumption that, like you said, Kai, people are acting in good faith.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be clear, Molly said it, and it needs to be repeated. The government's been doing this for a very long time. It wasn't just the Trump administration. So let's be clear about that.
Yeah. Anyway. Absolutely. And then even though it's not our day for it, I just wanted to do a little make me smile before we go to the game.
Yeah, of course.
Because so the two things. First, the Pulitzers, if you're on Twitter or in media, you know that the Pulitzers were announced today. And the New York Times got a whole bunch for their COVID reporting. I do want to highlight Alexis Madrigal tweeted about this. And the New York Times got a bunch of Pulitzers for their data-driven reporting. One thing that did not get a Pulitzer was the COVID-19 tracking project that The Atlantic set up super early, right? Like almost immediately, they set up this project that attempted to gather all of the data about positive COVID test results, deaths, state by state, county by county. A lot of other newsrooms emulated that. And Alexis Madrigal, who was one of the people who helped set it up, we interviewed him on tech about it a couple times, you know, rightfully tweeted that he was disappointed that it didn't win. And frankly, I have to agree. It was a remarkable public service effort that other publications did later. And so, Alexis, personal Pulitzer to you, buddy.
It's a classic. The New York Times gets all the awards because it's the New York Times.
You know, right? I mean, it's the New York Times. You know. The thing that did make me smile about the Pulitzers, unrelated to the New York Times, was that they gave a special citation. This may make me cry all over again because it made me cry out loud earlier to Daniela Fraser, the teenage girl who filmed the death.
Yeah, she
of
was
George
17
Floyd.
When she did it.
She was 17 years old. And she stood there while this was happening and filmed it and testified about it. You know, I mean, helped lead to the conviction of that officer, Derek Chauvin, and they gave her a special citation, and it was remarkable. So good for them.
Do you need a minute?
No, I shook it off.
I mean, okay, all right. I can hear it coming.
I got the ugly sobs.
We've been doing this a long
earlier.
Time. I can hear the signals coming into my head.
I'm just going to sit here and have some tequila while you talk.
you do that. Okay, I've got a couple as well because it's Friday and there are no rules. The first is that this afternoon in Washington, oh my lordy B, five bills, bipartisan bills, were introduced in the Congress of the United States, in the House specifically, about the big tech companies. And the common theme is breaking them up, limiting their power, exercising monopoly control over some of these companies. It's kind of amazing. It's Apple and Amazon and Facebook and Google and all of those. It's like Amazon's marketplace is going to be at risk. The whole thing where these tech companies, Facebook specifically, buys up rivals that it spots and wants to not have to deal with anymore, buys them up and integrates them. That's going to be illegal. It's going to be huge. We are a long way from anywhere, but I think it's really remarkable that in the United States Congress today, given as polarized as it is, five bipartisan bills to take on big tech. It's that thing Zuckerberg's been talking about, right? We want thoughtful regulation. Here it comes, pal. You're about to get it.
Yeah.
You are about
also,
to get it.
Also, right? I mean, again, these haven't passed yet, but the fact that there are five of them and they are bipartisan very likely proves me wrong just as recently as yesterday. When you said, do you think we're going to see substantive regulation on tech companies? And I was like, nah, no way, bro.
Yeah, but look, and here's the really important caveat, right? This bill is going to run straight into the Senate of the United States. And look, there is, as we have talked about, there is bipartisan support for this kind of regulation for completely different reasons, right? The Republicans want control over technology companies because they feel that they're discriminated against and unfairly throttled, which is not true. And the Democrats are worried about disinformation and misinformation and the state of our democracy. And so it's going to be interesting to see what kind of coalition can be built to actually get this done, right? Because it's not like these five bills are just going to sail right through. So there's that.
Right. These do all seem to be the House so far, right? Or there's a...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Although there... Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it's true. We're a long way to go, but that is a lot of proposals to wind up at nowhere. So,
exactly.
I mean, I'll be delighted to be wrong.
Yeah.
It's happened before.
I don't think it'll be five equals nothing. It won't be five equals nothing. It'll be five equals some step toward regulation, which at this point I think is what we have to do. Okay, so the second item was, have we told people what you're doing, your new project?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. Well, then
I know,
forget
but
that
it's
I said
cool.
That.
I can dance.
Forget that I said that. It's super cool, but here's why I asked. My second item today was prompted by that thing that you're doing that we're not going to talk about, which is this.
Mm-hmm.
Lithium Americas Corporation is delaying plans to work on a mine it has in Nevada. It's a lithium mine that, according to Reuters, okay, would be the biggest lithium mine in the United States, making 30,000 tons of lithium annually, enough to make, and here's why it's interesting, more than 475,000 electric vehicle batteries, okay, which is a lot of batteries. And electric vehicles are the future, and this mine will be critical to that, except that environmentalists have sued to stop it because it threatens the habitat of the sage grouse. And I think this is a really interesting example of some of the choices that we're going to have to make, right? We have laws that protect wildlife for really, really good reasons. We also have an existential crisis about emissions that lithium and electric vehicle batteries will go a long way to solve. And now we're going to have a tussle over which one of those is going to be the policy choice. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy.
Not at all. It's there a really, go. I mean, it is a really interesting story for lots of reasons. Not least of which is the Biden administration saying, like right now, this week, actually, okay, we really actually have to get our butts in gear when it comes to high capacity battery production. It was the end of that period where they had said, please look at America's capabilities in terms of producing this technology, because the transition to renewable energy writ large all depends on storage and batteries.
Right.
And actually, for the first time in 100 years, potentially significant domestic mining, which is like not a thing that we are used to. It is a big deal.
Yep.
Mama needs an EV.
Mama needs an EV. All right. Liana, hit it. Let us do a thing. All right. Half full, half empty is the game. Drew Jostedt, Marketplace Heartthrob, is out today. Liana Squalace, sitting in comfortably, I'm sure. Let us begin.
Are you half full or half empty on World of Concrete?
God. The greatest.
That's a good one. That's a good one. So that's the big trade show in Vegas this weekend. It's the first one that's coming to Las Vegas since the pandemic, way short of the usual 10,000 participants. But look, I think anything that gets people back to some sense of normalcy, even if you have to go to Vegas to do it, is fine. I'm half full.
I am too, and I'm actually kind of jealous of our reporter, Matt Levin, who got to go.
Matt Levin, I know.
Went to World of Concrete.
I know.
Which, A, know. It's freaking called World of Concrete. That is awesome. Like, that is just awesome. It's so sort of Jetsons 50s Tony Starkey. I love everything about it. Or Stark Sr. Just absolutely amazing. And it's just like, actually, we were talking about it, and I was like, what if this ends up being like the most fascinating conference ever? Because they're talking about like concrete replacement material that can sequester carbon. Like, there's all this super interesting stuff about World of Concrete. I couldn't be more full on World of Concrete.
And I'll tell you what. Yes. And I learned something. Cement is apparently responsible for 8% of something bad, like greenhouse gas production or global warming. Or
carbon
emissions. Like, cement is terrible.
Straight up.
It's terrible.
Cement is terrible. I know. Yep. Love World of Concrete. Love it, love it, love it.
That's
awesome. Good one. Good one, Liana. What's next?
Are you half full or half empty on El Salvador accepting Bitcoin?
Oh, do not get me started. So they passed the law this week that will make Bitcoin, along with the U.S. dollar, by the way, just parenthetically, legal tender in El Salvador. And I look, for all the good that cryptocurrencies will eventually do, I don't think we're there yet. And half empty.
I mean, I think that this is a huge step toward the realization of Bitcoin's future. Evidently, El Salvador, they're going to use geothermal energy derived from volcanoes.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Mine right. it?
What could possibly go wrong?
Which I have to say was like kind of a cool twist, I thought, like a little bit. Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, well, I guess I appreciate the half implied here. Like, I guess I'm
half full.
Because I do think there's a lot of potential in a decentralized currency. We have to figure out how to do it without burning the planet. And maybe this will help drive that somewhat. It's going to be a hot mess. I think it's PR for El Salvador.
There you go. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yep. Yeah.
Once I flew through there, and apparently there's a chicken place that everybody gets really excited about because both down and back. I stopped in El Salvador to go to Honduras. I don't know, weird stuff that happens in life.
Okay.
And on the flight between El Salvador and Honduras and then El Salvador to San Francisco, everyone on the plane had fried chicken. It was the best smelling, most ghoulerific set of flights I've ever been on. Because apparently there's a place in El Salvador's capital, and I can't remember the name of the capital.
Erica
right now,
Phillips chiming in on the Slack. Hang on. Pollo Campero?
Wait. Oh, my. How does Erica Phillips do it?
I don't know.
How does
she
do
positive,
it?
She says.
That will probably, though.
Eric Enriquez in the YouTube chat. Pollo Campero. Craziness.
That's it.
Craziness.
Guys, I mean, chicken was like falling out of the overhead bin. People were getting in trouble because they had so many bags of chicken. We just drooled and cried the whole flight because it smelled so good.
Oh,
amazing.
Wait. Apparently, there's one in LA. KG says, Pollo Campero. It's in LA too. Look, let's find, I mean, you know.
I'm driving down on Tuesday. I'll just meet you. I'll just stop. Man. Let's get lunch.
Yeah.
No joke. Amazing.
All right, Liana, help.
What else are we getting? I'm off the rails.
You half full or half empty on Judge Judy ending after 25 seasons?
There was such a great piece about Judge Judy, I think in the LA Times by the LA Times writer who did the first profile of her 25-something years ago. that started her on her path. It was a charming, charming profile. Really interesting. I haven't watched her probably since like I was in college. No, I was in college longer ago than 25 years ago. Haven't watched her in a very long time. I have no opinion, but I'm half full on the profile of her. So, you know.
Yeah. I'm half full on Judge Judy being an American icon and knowing when to fold them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, but she's working on a new show. She's got something else going on. She's like 78.
Oh, really? Oh, dang.
Richer than Croesus. And she's doing something else. Yeah. Yeah.
How do we both Croesus at the same time?
I don't know.
Dang.
I don't know. That's scary.
Oh, good job, us.
Get out of my head.
Edumacation. Yeah. What's next?
Are you half full?
I'm going to have to pour more tequila.
So you're half empty.
Half empty.
We don't
nice.
Know.
That's why Liana's the boss.
That was very good. That was very good.
Good. Just this quick.
I surprised myself. are you half full or half empty on the Atlantic Charter?
Oh, they're
sing to
what
my
is it,
their
Roosevelt
sweet
and Churchill moment?
Heart. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe Biden and Boris Johnson have a meeting yesterday, and they come out with the renewed Atlantic Charter, which was, of course, 1941 on the eve of World War. Well, not even on the eve of, but the Brits were already at war. And we pledged to each other, you know, our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honors, blah, blah, blah. That was a Declaration of Independence. But anyway, I'm half full.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, good. I think obviously these two have profound differences, but that they would come together to commit not only, frankly, to a full-throated defense of democracy, which is nice to see, mm-hmm. but also a significant pledge on climate change, I think is really, it's really profound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they get to live out their kind of Roosevelt and Churchill fantasies in the interim, so be it. Let them have it.
So be it. That's right. They both want to be the other one, right? That's exactly right.
Exactly.
Biden's like, I'm FDR.
I'm so him. I'm so totally him.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see. History will tell.
Or was that it?
Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
Amazing. All right.
I believe there's a little music you need to play. It doesn't officially end until you play. There you go.
It's Charlton, actually. Charlton's playing it.
It's Charlton?
Oh, right. Yeah.
So
Liana's
hold on.
Just
Charlton's
here to be the
driving,
talent.
And you're just the talent? Wow.
I'm standing at your microphone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's moderately terrifying.
It's very cold in here.
Don't adjust the lights. Do
I
not
promise.
Adjust any of the settings.
I swear.
Do not. It's
I
it's in my contract.
He'll know.
I know better
in that
than
room
that.
Without my permission.
I know better
right.
than that.
Okay. All right. All right. Oh, my goodness. We are mercifully done. Back next week. In the meanwhile, your comments, please. Questions. Anything at all you want to tell us. How great we are. How terrible we are. Take your pick. I don't care. Email, voice memo.
We'll
makemesmart@marketplace.org. Hook us up. Please.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Yeah, have a good weekend.
Fry, yay! Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera, who is awesome. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. He is making friends left and right in the Discord. Look at this guy go. Our video producer is Stephen Bion, who makes us look perfect. Erica Phillips knows everything, possibly as a result of writing our newsletters and Make Me Smart explainers, but I think it's just her.
So look, the chat is all over your dog, and they want to know its name.
Oh, there's two of them. That little brown one is Reggie.
Yeah.
And then the hider there is Milo. He's shy.
Oh, gosh.
He's the rescue. They're both rescues.
Charlton Thorpe was engineering today downtown Los Angeles. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Donna Tam is the senior producer, the executive director of On Demand, who I'm not even sure is around right now, is Sitar Nieves.